Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Today's episode is brought to you by Dove. Revive your skin with Dove Nourishing Secrets hand creams and body lotions inspired by women's beauty rituals from around the world. Available in 4 intensively nourishing formulas with ingredients like avocado and coconut oil, blended with Dove Superior Care, you'll find one perfect for your skincare needs. Indulge your skin and your senses in an irresistible new way. Take the Dove Nourishing Secrets Beauty Routine Quiz to find your nature-inspired batch. Click the link on our blog or in our show notes or visit DoveNourishingSecrets.com. Welcome to Breaking Beauty, the podcast all about the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty. We're your hosts, Jill Dunn and Carlene Higgins.
Happy holidays, everyone. This is Jill, your trusty Breaking Beauty co-host. And on behalf of Carlene and myself, we want to wish you a really happy holiday season. We hope that you're enjoying some downtime with your families right about now, some Netflix and chill, you know, curling up on the couch. That's what we're up to. And we hope that you're finding some time for self-care as well, because we know it's been a really tough time for a lot of people and self-care is more important now than ever. And speaking of self-care and taking a moment to yourself, this week we are giving you the gift of decoding your skincare routine one step at a time with esthetician Renee Rouleau. This is a replay episode this week, and it's one of our most popular ever. And we often have people slide into our DMs and say that they've listened multiple times because Renee's advice is just that great. And even for myself, when I listened back, I remembered a bunch of different things that she said. And I was like, oh yeah, that's such a great tip. I have to integrate that back into my routine. And just as a bit of an update, since we last spoke to Renee, she's launched a brand new cleanser. She's got virtual consultations happening on her website. So if you've got maskne right now, head on over to her site and she's your girl to help you out. And a friendly reminder, if you want to know about any of the products that we mentioned in today's episode, we've written a blog to accompany our chat with Renee, and you can find that over at breakingbeautypodcast.com/blog. You can also, of course, check us out on Instagram. It's at Breaking Beauty Podcast, or check out our Facebook chat room. You just search Breaking Beauty Podcast chat room. That's a private group. That's where all the real tea goes down with skincare recommendations and tips and what people are shopping for. And so please join us in there as well. So thanks once again for tuning in. And without further ado, here's Renee. Hey everyone, welcome back to Breaking Beauty Podcast. Hey Carlene.
Hi Jill.
So today we have a glow down episode, and we are chatting all about how to build your perfect skincare routine. And we have a very special guest with us. We have esthetician to the stars, Renee Rouleau, and she flew in all the way from Austin, Texas, just to be on our show. We feel very lucky.
Renee's career has spanned more than 3 decades, and she works with some pretty famous faces like Demi Lovato, Lily Reinhart, and Lisa Rinna. She's also built a huge following on her website, ReneeRouleau.com, by providing really solid education with more than 1,000 written articles on everything from how to know if your moisture barrier is damaged to the best way to prevent wrinkles starting in your 20s.
So today we're covering off a topic that a lot of you asked us questions about in our private Facebook chat room. And that's all about how to build your perfect skincare routine for your skin type. So Renee will be walking us through all of the exact steps to do that, plus answering questions like, does serum go on before or after moisturizer? What the heck is an essence? Should you exfoliate every day? All of the bases covered.
And on a personal note, Renee is a friend of our show. We met at South by Southwest, where she graciously invited us over to her home for margaritas, took us out properly. We went two-stepping in Austin. I fell in love with your pink cowboy hat. Today, it's a navy blue one. Still loving it. And your pink hair. We're so happy to see you again.
Thank you. Yay. I love you guys.
Oh, so welcome, Renee. And shout out to Jane Larkworthy, who brought us all together.
Yes.
And so welcome, Renee.
Thanks. I'm so happy to be here.
Yay. Thank you for coming. So what is the first step to like assessing your own skin type? Like how do people figure that out at home? I think people often, it's just like your bra size. Like I think people misdiagnose that all the time.
Sure.
And a lot of people misdiagnose their skin type. So help us.
Yeah. So I'm definitely the queen of skin types. there definitely are some basics that people need to kind of look at. So one is the concept of dry, normal, and oily. So, you know, that's kind of the first thing you need to look at. And mainly, you need to know that information because that will drive what kind of moisturizer that you need to use, how mm-hmm. light or how heavy it is. So if you are somebody that gets shiny and your skin gets oily and greasy, that means that you already have oil in your skin. So you're going to use something more water-based. If you're somebody that's feeling really tight, and you know, gets flaky and doesn't look smooth to the touch, chances are you're going to require more oil. And so you can look for more of a cream or, you know, even a skin oil or something like that. So I think understanding dry, normal, oily is important. But I think also what's one kind of side note of that is that a lot of people, they use a lot of strong active ingredients. And so if they still get breakouts, but they feel dry, the thing to understand with breakouts is that you have oil underneath there somewhere. Because people who have truly dry skin, bone dry skin that don't have any oil at all, they're not going to break out because oil breeds bacteria. Bacteria leads to breakouts. So I'm always kind of educating people because people are like, oh my gosh, I'm so dry. Yet they have, you know, they still get a lot of acne. So it could be because they're using things that are too mm-hmm. strong. So they're getting the sensation of being dry. But if there's breakouts there, I always tell them there's oil in there somewhere. So we don't want to add things that are too heavy.
Makes sense.
So I think, the first thing is kind of just trying to assess if you're dry, normal, and oily. And again, it's just more, you know, dryness is more if there's flaking and a constant tightness and absolutely no oil whatsoever. A normal skin type or combination could be somebody that's a little T-zone. If your pores are a little larger in the T area than they are on the other areas of the face, that usually is an indicator that you're a little more combination. And that skin can feel tight, but it's typically not going to be flaky. I mean, obviously, if you're using a prescription retinoid or something, you know, that would cause that. But generally, you can feel tight, but it's not flaky. And then more oily is somebody that has enlarged pores all over the face and they're just shiny and greasy. Like, you know, by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they can be blotting their skin with blotting papers and they see a lot of oil on, you know, on there. But again, that, you know, it's a lotion versus a cream.
Right.
Sensitive skin is one of those tricky subjects because the definition is different from anyone, from everyone. When someone says, yeah, my skin's really sensitive, the first thing I said is, tell me what that means to you, right? So to one person, they'll say, if I use something really harsh or strong, it will irritate my skin. For which I'm always like, well, how about let's not use anything harsh or strong? Right? I'm always like, okay. But then someone else will say, if I use something too heavy, it will break me out. And then someone else will say, everything I wash with stings my skin. I get red. I get rashes easily, right? So there's, and then mm-hmm. some other people might even have other descriptions of them, but those are the three that I hear the most. So my definition of sensitive skin is more the easily irritated, the redness, the pink easily, the things sting easily. It's more of a moisture barrier issue. I don't really consider sensitive, oh, I can't use a moisturizer that's too heavy because it'll break me out. Well, then let's not have you use a moisturizer that's not going to, you know, that will break you out.
Yeah, there's an easy fix.
Yeah, yeah. And, but the problem with quote unquote sensitive skincare products out there, if it says it's for sensitive skin, typically it means that they just took out the synthetic fragrance or the synthetic dye. But a lot of the sensitive skincare products don't necessarily actually try to calm the redness. They'll take out the quote unquote irritants out of it. But if you have somebody that is, you know, easily irritated and red, the goal is to try to really like put the fire out, calm circulation, sedate the skin. And a lot of sensitive skincare products, I don't feel like necessarily do that. Because the goal is we're trying to improve the skin barrier and make the skin less sensitive over time. So just avoiding dyes and fragrances, that's just not going to do that.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. So dehydrated and dry, those are two different things too, right?
Correct. And that's, I mean, that's a huge one. I have a great blog post about it, but that's probably, you know, the biggest, the hardest thing for people to understand, because people always just say dry. And so I always say when someone says, oh, I'm really dry, but then I see they have breakouts, I'm like, no, it can't be. But I'll always say like, did your skin ever get flaky? Because to me, that's truly the definition of dry. And then absolutely, you know, producing no oil. But the main difference is dry is lack of oil and dehydrated is lack of water. So you can be oily and dehydrated, but you can't be dry and oily. So I think all skin types require water, but not all skin types require oil, right? Mm-hmm. So typically, again, if somebody has breakouts, they still produce oil, but they feel tight, then that's dehydration versus if somebody's, you know, bone dry and they're, you know, 45 plus and they have tiny pores, that's going to be more of a drier skin type.
So if you're trying to assess your own skin type, do you even put dehydration into that category at all? Or that's just a condition that you add?
Right. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is any good skincare routine should always be hydrating your skin.
Okay.
Now, if somebody comes to me, you know, if we have a customer or a client that has been using really harsh things and they kind of have destroyed their moisture barrier, then we might kind of need to load up on a few extra things just to repair their skin and get it back to a healthy state. Mm-hmm. The concept of the moisture barrier, which I'm sure you guys understand, but let me explain it for your listeners. So your skin has this moisture barrier, and think of it as like bricks on a house. And when the barrier is damaged from harsh products, genetics, rosacea, where the skin is hot and heat kind of naturally can deplete the moisture barrier or the moisture within the skin, over exfoliating, too many acids, things like that. So in these bricks, like the mortar in between the bricks starts to loosen and you get these little invisible cracks in the skin. When you get these invisible cracks in the skin, moisture can escape easier and then irritants can get in easier. So sometimes when people like are like, yeah, products are stinging my skin lately, and normally that never happens, well, it's because when you have those cracks, products, especially water-based ones, hit the nerve endings faster and you get a stinging sensation. So I have a great blog post about this as well, but it's all about kind of sealing up those invisible cracks so that moisture stays in and then irritants, you know, they're not irritating the skin as much. And that's probably the biggest thing that I've probably seen in the past, I'd say like 4 years or something, is people's moisture barrier, you know, where people who are oily are feeling dry. And it's because we have access to so many more active ingredients.
Totally.
Everybody's big into the liquid acid toning right now. You know, they're using the acid toners twice a day. And, you know, then they're using sonic cleansing brushes, and then they're, you know, which is an exfoliation in itself. And then they're derma rolling at home, poking holes in their faces. And so there's just a lot of people, and we've kind of fallen into a culture of like, if it doesn't burn or sting, it's not working. And so people relate feeling something with doing something, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and then, you know, you can buy all these chemical peels on Amazon. And so I just think that's like a big conversation that I'm having a lot with people, is having people back off of a lot of things because they're in their effort to control their skin and do more. You know, oftentimes
they're micromanaging. They're like that boss that's like doing too much. Yes. And you're like, if you actually back off, I'll be more productive.
Yes.
Today's episode is all about creating your perfect skincare routine, but I want to pause to let you know about some awesome body care products in partnership with our friends at Dove. Dove Nourishing Secrets hand creams and body lotions are inspired by women's beauty rituals from all around the world. Available in four unique formulas suitable for all skin types, you'll find one perfect for your skincare needs. Revive your skin with the Dove Invigorating Ritual Body Lotion. This fast-absorbing formula combined with avocado oil instantly softens your skin, while its fresh, clean scent lifts your senses. Skin is left deliciously smooth and supple, and it's also available in a hand cream to provide 24-hour moisturization. Treat your skin with the Dove Restoring Ritual Body Lotion. This super rich formula made with coconut oil and sweet almond extractives deeply moisturizes and softens your skin while its indulgent creamy fragrance comforts your senses. Skin feels restored and extra soft. Also available in a hand cream to moisturize extra dry skin. Indulge your skin with the Dove Replenishing Ritual Body Lotion. This non-greasy formula infused with marula oil replenishes your skin with moisture while its warm and bright scent of mango butter instantly delights your senses. Skin is replenished, soft, and looks beautiful. Finally, give your skin a luxurious treat with the Dove Glowing Ritual Body Lotion. This delicate formula blended with rice extractives nourishes your skin deeply while its sparkling floral scent delights your senses. Skin is radiant looking and feels silky soft. Indulge your skin and your senses in an irresistible new way. Take the Dove Nourishing Secrets Beauty Routine Quiz to find your nature-inspired match. We'll link to the quiz in our show notes and on our blog. It's really fun to do. Now, back to today's show.
So hopefully we've given everyone some tips on how to assess their skin type. So let's get into what step one would be once you figure out what that is.
Yeah. So, I mean, the cornerstone for a good routine will always be your cleanser, because that's like right out of the gate, the first thing you do. So you always have to get that right, because it's going to kind of make or break everything else. So for any skin type, the idea is that you never want to dry out the skin, right? You don't want anything harsh at all, because if you strip the skin and pull moisture and water out of the skin, then everything afterwards has to do repair work. So the most important thing is low foaming, sulfate free, make sure it says that on the label, and really listen to your skin. And but low bubbles, like the general rule is the bigger the lather, the more drying it's going to be. So you want more of like a froth than you want like a true shampoo bubble kind of situation. Mm-hmm. But the key to know about cleansing is after you rinse off your cleanser, you have a 60-second window before moisture starts to evaporate from the skin. So basically, when your skin is wet from the shower or the sink, water attracts water like a magnet. And so when the air is dry, right here in Toronto, mm-hmm. right, there's not humidity because it's really cold. So when the air is dry and there's low humidity, it looks for moisture wherever it can get it. So it's going to grab onto your dripping wet face from washing your face. And then that is attracting the water from deeper in, and they all disappear through a process called osmosis. So doesn't matter if you wash with the mildest cleanser on the planet, you have to get your next product on within 60 seconds. So usually if anyone says, oh, no matter what cleanser I try, it makes you, you know, dries me out, it's usually because they're waiting a little bit. So you need to work your skincare routine really fast.
Okay. So that's for regardless of your skin type, that's the type of cleanser you're going to look for, low foam, all of that.
Yeah.
Are there any variances, any skin type that should look for a different type of cleanser? Because you always see, you'll see a vitamin C cleanser, you'll see a retinol cleanser.
Sure.
Like there's just so many
different ones. So I think the idea, when you think of cleansing the skin, the idea is you're trying to clean the skin, right? Mm-hmm. And so I have a blog post on this, but one of the things that I'm not a fan of is cleansing balms, mm-hmm. because yes, they do a really nice job removing makeup, but you don't feel greasy afterwards, but the skin feels kind of soft,
right? There's a bit of a residue.
There's a bit of a residue. And it's because the oils lubricated and coated the skin. And so a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, I love a cleansing balm because I don't feel dry afterward. Well, yeah, you don't, because it technically, you moisturize the skin. Mm-hmm. So then what happens is you've already coated those skin cells. So now you want your active ingredients like your vitamin C serum to really penetrate, and it's going to be harder to because of that coating. Mm-hmm. So you could do a double cleanse if you wanted to, but generally, you know, if you have a nice pH balanced cleanser and you don't necessarily need a lot of makeup, you can still use a low foaming type cleanser. Or I much prefer like a cleansing lotion, mm-hmm. to, you know, for makeup removal than a balm or a cleansing, mm-hmm. oil. So the main thing is, regardless of your skin type, just make sure it doesn't dry out your skin or leave a residue in the case of cleansing balms. But the one type of skin where it's helpful to have some sort of antibacterial ingredients in it is more for oily and acne prone right. skin, because particularly at night, your face is the dirtiest, you know, from all day, from, you know, touching your skin. And so if you already kind of have bacterial growth from acne and then you're adding bacteria to it, you kind of want something that is more antimicrobial.
Right.
So you might look for something that's a little more disinfecting so that it's doing an antibacterial cleansing as well.
So your face is cleansed. You have that water. What are you getting on there immediately? Is it a hydrating toner? What's the or essence?
What's the order?
Next step?
Yeah, and is there a logic to the order? Like you said, is it like thinnest to thickest?
Yeah,
we sometimes hear.
Yeah. So the next is going to be your water-based product, which is a toner. Mm-hmm. So toners are misunderstood. A lot of people don't really know what they do. I think they've increased in popularity recently because of the acid content that a lot of, you know, people are like, oh yeah, I can feel it stinging. So, okay, I'll use a toner. It's doing something now. But water-based products, anything that has water in it will penetrate really fast into the skin. And so the benefits of a toner, I'm not huge into liquid acid toners mm-hmm. because they hit the nerve endings really fast. They sting the skin. That can cause some inflammation, where having an acid in a serum is more of a slow release, but then you have ingredients in it that are kind of cushioning and hydrating to the skin. You know, they're more skin comforting along with the acids, because you don't want to create inflammation with an acid. So if it doesn't have acids in it, you can have active ingredients like antibacterial ingredients, an essence that is technically like a serum-infused toner, mm-hmm. but still water-based.
I love a toner.
I know. You can have stimulating ingredients, ones that calm redness. So you do kind of want it targeted towards your skin type. But the purpose of a toner for any skin type is that it removes any cleanser residue, any potential little makeup. When you think of glass shower doors, all that filmy white crud that gets left on there, that's salts, chlorines, and minerals that get deposited on the skin. So it's kind of like the rinse cycle for your skin. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, when you put it on the skin, you want to leave it wet on the skin. And by leaving it wet on the skin, several things will happen. One is it's giving your skin a big dose of water. But then secondly, water penetrates faster and can act as a carrier for your serum. So it is thought that when you put a serum on next, it can penetrate 10% deeper than if you just put it on dry skin alone. So it acts as a delivery system. So that is also helpful too. Mm-hmm. So I love toners. Any skin type, it should be alcohol free. So I remember back in the late 80s when I became an esthetician, Clinique was all the rage back then. I think it was their clarifying astringent number 2. It was so popular. Everybody used that. That was the most popular one. They were, kind of called astringents back then. Yeah. That's what we called them. And so and Bonnie Bell 1006.
Oh, yeah.
And so with the Clinique astringent, I would use it to remove my nail polish.
Stop.
Just as like a visual, and be like, this is what you're putting on
your face.
Here's
a hack.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Who doesn't love a multi-benefit product?
I had one question. Do you view toner as your second cleansing step or your first moisturizing step?
First moisturizing step.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think of it as a hydrating type
That's
ingredient.
Right.
And so if you have somebody that has more oily skin, but they live in a dry climate or breakout prone skin, a toner is a great way to add that extra step to give hydration, but since it's water-based, they don't have to worry about it breaking them out. So
right.
if somebody's like, yeah, I'm really oily and I still break out a lot, but I'm feeling dehydrated because it's negative 10 in Wisconsin, what should I do? So if they're not using a toner, I'll say add that in, leave it damp, and then that's going to give your skin a nice drink of water.
Right. So that's some great advice. Now, are there a couple of differences between toners that might vary according to your skin type?
So
what are
some
of the key ingredients in that?
Yeah. So something that's for redness might have green tea or sea whip extract. It might have chamomile, might have something called bisabolol. I mean, there's all sorts of like calming anti-redness type mm-hmm. ingredients. Something that's stimulating might have vitamin B12. It might have ginseng. It could have some sort of mint extract.
So if you have dull skin, you're going to go for those?
Yeah. If you're looking kind of more for an energy boost to kind of bring pinkness to the skin.
Okay. If you have that grayish cast. You look like an extra in a zombie movie. Then you look for those.
If people are constantly saying to you, you look really tired, then you're going to want to give a little boost. But actually, one of my tips, I don't know if you heard me talk about it ever before, but I hang my head upside down for 2 minutes a night, every night, just to bring that fresh blood to my skin. So somebody with rosacea wouldn't want to do that because they don't need to. But yeah, I'll just kind of hang over the side of my bed, look at my phone, and just let all that fresh blood come to the skin. But when you flush the skin with blood, you're also carrying fresh oxygen and new nutrients. And right. So that's a good little fun tip that I share with people.
Anything specific to oily or acneic there with the toner that they should look for?
I mean, it could be something
non-astringent. We know that.
Yeah, alcohol-free for sure, but something with salicylic acid. Like one of my toners uses prebiotics to kind of keep a healthy microbiome on the skin. That's important more for people with acne. Mm-hmm. Something called resorcinol is good for acne. I mean, you could have some other light acids in it if you did want to use it as an exfoliant, mm-hmm. particularly people with pigmentation.
Okay.
Yeah. Tea tree is good for acne.
Yeah, we're drilling really down on this stuff. Now we need to know, does everyone need a serum? I feel like this is something we get asked a lot. Mm-hmm. So why would someone need one, or why would they maybe skip it? What's the function of a serum and where does it fit in your routine?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I always, like, to me, the basic two products that everyone, I mean, if someone's just like, I am just a minimalist all day long, then I'm going to recommend three products for them. One is a cleanser because they can use it morning and night. One is a sunscreen to use in the morning, a moisturizer with a sunscreen. And then one is a nighttime cream or lotion for their skin type, right? So they have to cleanse and moisturize every day. Like that's mm-hmm. kind of the basics. When you're looking to dial up your routine and get more results, and then somebody wants to add in one additional product, I might skip the toner, even though I love toners, but I'll ask them to do a serum just because they're going to drive more results. They have a higher concentration of active ingredients. They have a smaller molecular structure, so they penetrate better, but they're much more performance driven. Mm-hmm. So if you're like, oh, you know, I've kind of got the basics down, but this is still bothering me, or I want to see more improvement there, then I'm going to add a serum. So every skin type, I mean, my general routine for every skin type is always going to be cleanser, toner, serum, and moisturize morning and night. Now, it just depends on what you do with the serum. Mm-hmm. So again, there's all different active ingredients. There's exfoliating acid serums, you know, vitamin C, there's peptide serums. You know, every good serum should have good humectants in it, like hyaluronic acid or sodium PCA or glycerin. Those are all good humectants. I mean, any serum you use is going to have hydrating properties. So that's kind of a basic, but it's more just about other active ingredients that drive a certain function.
Because they're super concentrated, right? I think that's the thing is that you can get moisturizers that have active ingredients and that's great.
Yeah.
But it's just like a power shot, right?
Exactly.
It's really concentrated. Yeah. So if you want that hit, then you go for that. And you mentioned some key ingredients to look for, peptides, et cetera. So peptides would be for aging, to address aging.
Mm-hmm.
And then you mentioned vitamin C.
Yeah. I mean, everyone should use something with antioxidants in it, right? Mm-hmm. Which is vitamin C. And there's certainly, you know, all different other ingredients that have antioxidants, all sorts of blackberry and elderberry. And I mean, all sorts of, you know,
any
berries, any fruit and veggie type ingredients are all going to provide antioxidant protection. But we just know that any skin type is exposed to oxidative stress. So that's kind of a no-brainer. The interesting thing is that we've always known to use a vitamin C serum during the day. And again, any skin type needs to use that because that's all for preventative aging and also helping with pigmentation as well. But during the days when you're most
exposed,
thank you, to oxidative mm-hmm. stress. But we now know that your natural antioxidant supply, then you add in a vitamin C serum, but it's like a little gas tank. And, you know, you only have a certain amount of that natural supply and it gets depleted during the day mm-hmm. with environment and exercise and just kind of all the things that kind of put wear and tear on the skin. And so you do want to have some sort of antioxidant at night as well in a serum or in a moisturizer to kind of fill up that gas tank again so that in the morning you've kind of, mm-hmm. you know, have some in there and then your vitamin C serum will add to it. But I mean, any skin type will always benefit from having antioxidants, no different than anyone benefits from eating antioxidants, mm-hmm,
totally.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I just feel like right now every single brand has a vitamin C mm-hmm. serum. So what's your kind of professional trick to know if it's legit or not? Like if you're in Sephora and you're looking around or if you're looking at someone's routine and kind of assessing products they brought in, you're like, this is doing nothing.
I mean, I always feel like a vitamin C serum needs to be in an airless packaging because we know that vitamin C is so tricky and unstable, similar to retinol as well. And so anything that comes in an airless package where, you know, no air gets to it is going to just preserve the product longer. No different than you take a bite of an apple and it turns brown, you know, air gets to it, it decomposes. And so vitamin C serums that are in droppers, you know, a lot of companies will make them in dark color droppers to kind of help that. But the idea is, in a perfect world, it would be in an airless type container. I'm talking about kind of the moisture barrier, since that's kind of an issue for so many people, they might want to, and this is any skin type, but they might want to avoid the acid-based vitamin C serums. I always tell people, you know, if you're feeling sensitive or you feel like your moisture barrier is damaged, look for a no-sting vitamin C serum, which are not the ones that have L-ascorbic acid or pure ascorbic acid. Those definitely are effective, and the research shows it, but they have a fast delivery. They sting the skin. I mean, they're an acid, and you're using it every day, and acids typically shouldn't be used every day, certainly exfoliating acids. So if you're sensitive, then you're going to want to look for one that doesn't use the pure acid. And so those are like magnesium ascorbyl phosphate, tetrahexadecyl ascorbate. There's other ones, basically, yeah, when they just don't have the word acid,
yeah,
on
they
the
just
end,
say,
right?
Yeah, or they just, yeah, say vitamin C.
I think that's a really, yeah, really good point, because I think a lot of people just see vitamin C on the front of the label and they don't even know that there's various versions of vitamin C, not only strengths, but just different types of vitamin, sure, C that can be in an active ingredient. Yeah.
And a lot of people are sensitive to vitamin C, mm-hmm, serum. They sting, they, yeah, irritate.
That happens to me. I said that to Jill before. She's like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, because they're an acid.
Yeah.
So I think we still need to talk about moisturizer, right?
Hell yeah.
Yes.
So during the day, you want a moisturizer with a sunscreen in it. And so sometimes people are like, oh, I have it in my makeup. And it's like, no, you need to like really coat the skin. So find a lightweight moisturizer with sunscreen, something that you can apply generously, because sunscreen is not about the number. It's about how much you apply. So if it's a little heavy and you're just barely applying any because you're like, oh, it's so too heavy for me, then it's not going to work. So luckily there's been a lot of advancements with sunscreens, and there's a lot of really nice light formulas out, yeah, there now.
What is like the visual cue if people want to know how much to put on?
So I would do like the size probably of a nickel, mm-hmm, all over my face, and then the size of a nickel on my neck and sides of my neck.
Right.
You always want to treat those two areas separately, because a lot of people, they'll put sunscreen on the face and they're like, oh, whatever is left over my fingertips, I'll just carry it on down here. But like, that's nothing. So, and I have a condition called poikiloderma, which where you get pigmentation on the side of your neck. And, you know, I mean, so I, you know, I've learned a long time ago that you just really have to treat it as its separate area.
So when you're using that day moisturizer with SPF, mm-hmm, do you care about key ingredients, or are you just like,
no,
want to get that SPF and that little hit of moisture and you don't care about the ingredients?
Correct.
Do you leave that job to your serums or your,
correct,
night cream?
Yeah, correct. I mean, you know, any sunscreen will have, you know, probably some calming ingredients in it. But, you know, the sole purpose of a sunscreen is about protection. And in any active ingredients, when it's in a moisturizer, it's not going to penetrate.
Yeah.
It's not going to work quite the same as a serum. So,
right.
So I don't worry too much about that. But there's some, you know, if it's a lighter weight sunscreen, there might be some oil absorbing ingredients in it, which could be helpful more for oily skin. So
right,
you want to find one that's more for your skin type.
Okay. What about a good night cream? And does everyone, you know, what kind of moisturizer, again, going back to the different skin types, would you be looking for?
If you're more oily, you're going to use more of a lotion, something that's more lightweight, oil-free, and then kind of go up from there in weight. So, you know, I have many different moisturizers and they're all just kind of, some are thinner and then kind of some are a little creamier and then some are heavier depending on the skin type. So I think a problem that I see people run into is some people just love the sensation of that dewiness and that real slip on the skin. But the people that don't benefit from that are people who still get breakouts. So, you know, you really, again, if you are somebody that gets breakouts, regardless of how often, it means you have oil in there and you don't need a lot of oil. So those types of skins, I don't recommend using a skin oil. And if they do, you know, if they're in a dry climate and they really want to, you would put it on. So maybe you, let's just say you are somebody that's more oily, and you get breakouts, you can use your oil-free moisturizer. Then mm-hmm. if you feel like, you know, you live in Toronto and the air is really dry, you can take a skin oil and put a couple drops, rub it in your hands, but then pat it on the face. Don't rub. So the idea is you're just kind of placing it as like a little top coat over the skin, but because your oil-free moisturizer touched the skin first, that oil's not really penetrating much. So it's just more like, just like the top coat of nail polish. Mm-hmm. It's like just a little sealant, a little bodyguard to ensure that the dry air isn't pulling moisture out of your skin.
Right. Yeah. So do you believe in oils, face oils?
Well, I do in dry climates, right? So, you know, in wintry type climates, I think it's really important because it acts as a seal. It's a sealant. No different than like, I like oils for like people who swim in chlorinated pools, right? Because oil and water don't mix. And so the oil's more likely to kind of stay on, eventually it will wear off if you're in the pool long enough. But anytime you want a barrier over the skin, I like a skin oil. Yeah. I have one in my line. I like it. Yeah. But again, if you have built-in oil, it's not ideal because that's not what your skin is requiring.
Right. Yeah.
It needs more water.
And I don't think we can talk about skin routines without talking about retinol.
Right.
So is it about having a daytime serum and a nighttime serum, or where in your routine would you incorporate retinol and why?
Right. So for every skin type, I always recommend a vitamin C serum during the day. Everyone needs that. Doesn't matter what your mm-hmm. skin type is. At night, I like all the, our 9 skin type routines. We'll have 2 different serums. For certain skin types, we'll have 3 different serums, but you're using them on different nights. Mm. So let me quickly touch on layering, mm-hmm. right? So a lot of people will layer skin serums. I'm not a big fan of layering only because your skin can only absorb so much. Mm-hmm. So I just recommend 1 serum and then put your moisturizer on afterward and then potentially
different
a skin
nights,
oil.
Though.
But then different, yeah. So think of it as like, I like to explain it like exercise. Like one day you do kickboxing, another day you do a Pilates class, another day you go for a walk. And so you're kind of getting a variety of different ingredients, but they're all equally hard hitting. So if I'm not ready to put a client on retinol yet because their skin is already metabolically active, they're younger, they're still maybe under 30, or if we're still dealing with a lot of breakouts, like that's the focus, because the misconception is with retinol, the over-the-counter, is that it addresses acne and wrinkles. That is not the case in my experience.
We've heard that before on the mic.
Yeah. So it's the prescriptions can do that, but it's only a specific type of acne, which is not really a pustular type acne. It's more like closed comedones, mm-hmm. whiteheads, mm-hmm. milia. Like it's more like non-infected acne. So like it doesn't even help regular acne anyway. So I mean, maybe a little bit, but it's generally more for clogged, bumpy, congested type pores. So for people that are still kind of like 28 and younger, I'm not necessarily ready to put them on a retinol yet. So the 2 serums will be an exfoliating acid serum. And there's different acids depending on their skin type.
Like glycolic,
lactic, salicylic, okay. Malic, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then the other night, well, they do an exfoliating acid serum for 3 nights in a row. And then go off and use off of that and use a hydrating serum for 3 nights in a row and rotate. And the combination
or
the concept behind the 3 nights is that it's particularly for the acid serum. Night 1, you break through the concrete. Night 2, you work a little deeper. Night 3, the skin's really nice and exfoliated. So if you only just use it 1 night, you're just kind of breaking the surface. And right. So you want a really good effective exfoliation. Then go off of it to give your skin a break. Use a hydrating serum, and that might have other ingredients in it depending on the skin type, but then just really kind of give your skin a break and then just keep kind of doing that rotation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll do, depending on the client, I might do 2 nights and 2 nights or every other night depending mm-hmm. on the skin type. But for most people, it's that 3 night. And that's another thing with an acid serum. Like, no doubt everyone should use an acid serum. As I mentioned, I've been using them since the early 90s. I mean, I'm just such an acid junkie. They really do work in retexturizing the skin and making mm-hmm. pores look smaller. And I'm just such a fan.
Visible difference,
no question. Mm-hmm. And immediate results and everything. And again, when I go back to those tried and true ingredients, mm-hmm. I mean, acids are more popular now than ever. And there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
So then more for aging skin types where I'm ready to get somebody on a retinol routine, that will be the 3rd serum is the retinol. And they'll kind of rotate that in. But in that case, I want the retinol to be on their skin more than the other serums because that's the one that truly can create positive change as long as you're getting that slow drip of it consistently. Mm-hmm. So I typically recommend 2 nights of the retinol, one night of the acid, two nights retinol, one night of the hydrating, and then repeat.
Yeah.
So you're basically using the retinol like four nights a week.
Yeah. We have gone deep here, folks. Deep.
I love it. How important is it to use products from the same range or line?
Great question. So I don't believe you have to, right? Your skin does not have a mechanism where it knows if it's the same, like, mm-hmm. you know, compatible because it's from the same line, right? And so that's an interesting thing. A lot of times when, and it depends on the line. I mean, I can just speak on my line, but we have 50 products and everyone is so different from one another. So like, you know, sometimes if you jump into a product line and then all of a sudden it doesn't work for you, you go, oh, I can't use that line. Well, most skincare lines, I'm assuming, don't have a same theme unless it's like a glycolic acid line and every product has glycolic acid in it. But I feel like most skincare products nowadays, every product is its own standalone with its own features.
Unless it's very, very fragranced, in which case I just throw it out the window as far as I can.
Yeah, I hear you. But no, you can mix and match. And also the concept of your skin getting used to things, right? A lot of people are like, oh, I don't really see results anymore. My skin's used to it. Well, I think what happens there is that, you know, depending on what type of ingredients you use, but people can get some good results initially, you know, they see it, but then it creates the new normal, right? Mm-hmm. And then they don't see as much of a change. And it's like, well, your skin is still maintaining, but I don't believe your skin, you should change your routine because you think, you know, there's no
your
direct mechanism.
Gets bored. I totally agree with that. I've heard people say that before. I'm like, no,
yeah.
I mean,
but the time to change is when your skin is acting, you know, behaving differently, mm-hmm. right? And now all of a sudden it's like, ooh, it's feeling tight. It's feeling more sensitive. It's feeling oilier. Like I'm getting some breakouts lately. I've been traveling. I don't know what's going
on. If your condition changes, that's one thing.
Yeah, that's when you want to change.
But I think consistency is what is great because it takes time. Like, in 2 weeks, those active ingredients need time.
For
right?
sure. You're training your skin to behave in a different way and mm-hmm, giving it mm-hmm. new things to do so.
Yeah.
What do you think? I think this came into the beauty vernacular in the last couple of years, the trend of cocktailing your products together, AKA there's a brand out there that called it like a smoothie and they would put the serum in the hand, the moisturizer in the hand, whatever, rub it all together and put it on at once.
So I'm not a fan of doing that because then you're not getting kind of the targeted treatment that it was intended for. Mm-hmm. You never want to mix a serum with a moisturizer. Like you're talking about a water-based product with an oil-based emulsion and you're losing your serum into the moisturizer and it's not going to be able to penetrate as well. So that's why you always want to layer with a serum and a moisturizer. But no, I think if you are using high-quality products with a brand you trust, you're getting the performance out of each of those things mm-hmm. and you're, by mixing them, it's just kind of confusing everything.
Yeah. And you talked right off the top about cleansing and then getting that essence on within 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. Is there any other windows of time in your routine that we should be aware of?
Great question. I typically say like after a serum, just wait like 60 seconds and just give it a chance to absorb before you put your moisturizer on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, a couple more questions. I mean, we could talk forever, but
didn't you know you're never leaving Toronto?
But a couple more.
If somebody wants to wear a separate moisturizer and SPF, which goes on first?
Great question. So I personally like a sunscreen that has both a chemical and a physical. One, you're getting best of both worlds. I'll get to your answer in a second, but a physical kind of absorbs and gets within the skin and physical is more protecting from the top. So I like having both because you get inside out protection. The problem with putting a moisturizer on is that you're getting that coating of the skin cells and then the chemical sunscreen might not be able to really protect and coat those skin cells as well. So that's why I like a moisturizer with a sunscreen. If you are using just a purely physical sunscreen, which is more for protection kind of on top for reflecting the rays, then you would put your moisturizer on first and then you would put your physical sunscreen. But if you're just using a chemical sunscreen, then I would put the chemical sunscreen on first and the regular moisturizer on top.
Right. So the chemical sunscreen, essentially, it has to make contact with the skin in order to work.
Right.
Exactly. So that's why it has to go on first.
Yes.
Got it.
Okay. Wow. Well, are we ready for our final question?
I think so.
Okay. So what does healthy skin look and act like? What's the goal that you can look in the mirror or you look with one of your clients and you're like, we did it?
Mm-hmm. So I am very much not against lines and wrinkles. To me, that's life. That's wear and tear. I don't think healthy, beautiful skin is a skin that is absent of lines and wrinkles. So many people are, you know, getting fillers and doing Botox to have no lines and wrinkles on the skin. I like a skin to look natural, but I'm much more about even skin tone and pore size. Mm-hmm. So to me, a skin that I was able to make pores look smaller, reduce pigmentation, discoloration, be it melasma, be it discoloration from post breakup marks, just brown spots. So having kind of that even skin tone and make pores look smaller. And those are very achievable. So, but it's an ongoing thing, you know, so you never cross the finish line because, you know, the skin is aging and, you know, everything's kind of constantly changing. And so you're always kind of having to stay on top of it. You never just get a wash your hands and be like, oh, okay, I'm done now. So, but I think, anytime I can make pores look smaller and the skin more even toned and less discoloration is always a big win.
Thanks for listening. You can find details on every product mentioned in today's episode, along with our exclusive promo codes on our blog at breakingbeautypodcast.com.
While you're there, be sure to sign up for our newsletter. Every episode will be delivered directly to your inbox, so you won't miss a single thing.
And get social with us. Let us know what you think of the episode. You can follow us on Instagram at Breaking Beauty Podcast.
And did you know we also have a private Facebook group? Just search Breaking Beauty Podcast chat room.
You can even leave us a voicemail at any time with questions or feedback at 1-844-227-0302.
And don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast fix. Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, where you can show us some love by writing a review.
See you next Wednesday.